Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Well, first of my good evening. Welcome to Thursday's update here on Manx Radio. Coming up before 5:30, your electricity bill's going up and we will find out how much you might be paying from next month. Also tonight, some medicines are becoming harder to find on the island and a local pharmacist explains why that's happening. The countdown to the House of Keys general election is on. There are less than 30 weeks to go, and today we hear what voters in Ramsey say needs to change. And a well-known pub in Ballasalla is back in business. We'll take a tour there. And on day one of Crufts, Manx competitors are already making their bark. Mark. We'll have that plus the weather, the traffic and the travel. And if you'd like to get in touch, you can text 166 177. We'll start with a roundup of the main news headlines first with Siobhan Fastamai.
The Department of Infrastructure is yet to see clear evidence of construction feasibility at either of the potential sites for landfall for the Moor Vannin wind farm. The proposals, which are currently being scrutinised by a panel as part of the examination process, could see the energy generated by the 87 turbines brought onshore to the Manx grid and interconnector. Electricity prices on the Isle of Man will be increasing by 1.5% in April. Manx Utilities has announced the rise, along with a 2.9% increase to water and wastewater charges. The island's bus drivers are thanking the Manx public for its support over the past few days as they're due to walk out again tomorrow. In a statement issued through the Isle of Man Trades Union Council, the drivers say they've been truly humbled by the kindness and generosity shown by people. Government's so-called integrity line, through which whistleblowers can register their concerns, has been used more than 100 times since 2022. And top darts players from the Isle of Man, UK and further afield are set to take part in the 2026 Isle of Man International Darts Festival, which gets underway at the Villa Marina tonight. Further afield, the UK Prime Minister says four more British Typhoon jets will be sent to Qatar as he's defended his response to the Middle East conflict. The first UK chartered repatriation flight has finally left Oman, with more scheduled in the coming days. South East Water has been fined £22 million by the regulator, and Britney Spears has been arrested by police in California. It's reported she was questioned on suspicion of drink driving but has since been released. There are your headlines. We'll have your news in full at 6.
Thank you very much indeed, Siobhan. Now the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. So it's not brilliant this evening, cloudy with outbreaks of rain and strong to gale force winds. That rain will clear early tonight. The wind will ease as well. Minimum overnight temperatures will be around 3. Then tomorrow, dry but cloudy. Sunny intervals, though, soon developing and light winds. Top temperatures of 9. And then Saturday looks really lovely, actually. Fine and dry, lengthy spells of sunshine and a gentle southerly breeze. Best temperatures, again, will be around 9 Celsius.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugborough Trading Estate.
It's coming up to 5:03. Well, as we heard, electricity prices on the Isle of Man are going to be increasing by 1.5% next month. Manx Utilities has announced the rise, along with a 2.9% increase to water and wastewater charges, and Sian Cowper has the details.
The board says the electricity uplift is below inflation and reflects its decision to limit the impact on energy customers while still supporting the financial resilience of essential services. In a statement, MU states it recognises energy costs have placed real pressure on households and businesses in recent years and had absorbed around £40 million in costs by shielding customers from sudden bill shocks. It adds that wholesale energy prices and geopolitical uncertainties continue to influence the cost of supplying power to the island, although around 75% of the island's natural gas requirements for the 2026-27 year have already been secured. From the 1st of April, the unit rate for electricity will be 29.5 pence per kilowatt hour, with a standing charge of 25.5 pence per day. Manx Utilities estimates this will mean a typical domestic customer pays £937 over the course of a year, which is an increase of £14 per year. The board says it's also aware of the recently announced reduction in the UK's Ofgem tariff cap. While its tariffs are currently below the UK cap, April's rise, combined with the upcoming cap reduction, means Manx Utilities prices will be above the UK cap. Help is available to customers who may face financial pressures, including smarter pay-as-you-go prepayment, flexible payment plans, and advice on reducing energy. Customers can contact Manx Utilities on 687 675 or by emailing accounts@manxutilities.im.
Sean Cowper reporting there. You can find those details on the Manx Radio website. It's just gone 5:05. Well, the Department of Infrastructure is yet to see sufficient evidence that there's safe and suitable access to either landfall site proposed for use with the Moor Vanan wind farm. So the department's been speaking today to a panel examining Ørsted's proposal for an 87 turbine development off the island's east coast. This project could use a landfall site to connect electricity generated from the site into the Manx grid and interconnect. Now, Ørsted's preferred landfall would be at Groudle, although it's also assessing Port Skillion. But Celine Skinner, representing the DOI, says Ørsted is yet to show either site is viable.
The department does maintain that the applicant hasn't yet provided sufficient evidence to demonstrate that there is safe and suitable access to either of the landfall sites, and that overall there's not sufficient evidence at this stage to support that there is clear construction feasibility. In relation to survey data, a key element of the department's concern is that the baseline traffic surveys had not initially been undertaken for four of the critical roads that are needed to access the landfall sites. So these were Fort Anne Road, South Quay, Groudle Old Road and Ballymena Road. However, we do think that it would be appropriate for the applicant to provide high-level consideration of the potential cumulative impacts of all of the onshore works, particularly regarding traffic and transport, in order to satisfy and understand the whole project impacts for the Isle of Man specifically.
Amy Stirling on behalf of the applicant. I'm slightly surprised at Ms. Skinner's submission, particularly around the whole project, when Mr. Garden of CMS just yesterday said the department was broadly content with the approach to the whole project assessment within the environmental impact. That seems to have changed overnight. We spent quite a lot of time discussing the whole project assessment yesterday, the approach to tiering and why we were unable to carry out a meaningful, as Ms. Skinner has identified, cumulative effects assessment with the onshore works, given the lack of information on it.
My name is Sam Taylor. I'm a transport planner with Haskoning, and here on behalf of the applicant, we've taken critical path measurements and photographs, which are informing, for example, the sweat path analysis. What I would say is we do appreciate the complexity of accessing these sites, but that's not unusual for landfall sites. And there are a range of tried and tested options that are available. The focus as part of these updates is to the construction traffic management plan is on defining the types of vehicles that can access those sites. So that's about ensuring that we use appropriately sized vehicles.
That's Sam Taylor and also Amy Stirling representing Ørsted. And before that, Celine Skinner representing the Department of Infrastructure, giving evidence to that panel this afternoon. 5:08. Well, medicine shortages in the United Kingdom often happen here on the Isle of Man too. Pharmacist Nick Kay from Kingsley Mooty Pharmacy, which is in Ballasalla, was speaking on the Manon line at lunchtime. And he was asked by a caller if there was a shortage of HRT medicine and revealed there are 250 items which are actually on the medicine shortage list.
Medicine shortages are not only a global issue, but actually specifically, you know, definitely a UK issue. So there is something called the medicine shortage list, which is across the UK. There's actually 250 medicines that are on that shortage list at the minute, including some medicines of HRT. Big stuff last week about actually not being able to get aspirin.
Aspirin
75 milligrams. Yeah, the person that took over me as the chair of the MPA, Olivier, was on Radio 4 yesterday or the day before, just explaining that the aspirin 75 milligrams is a real problem. So, and the reason for that is almost quite transparent, that the UK basically doesn't pay enough for its medicines. So if you're in a global supply chain and you don't pay enough, you'll sell it somewhere else.
And the Isle of Man is at the end of that UK supply chain.
We are, yeah. So the Isle of Man, we are linked to, so there's something called a drug tariff, which is used across the NHS. So Scotland has its own one, but England, Wales and Northern Ireland are linked into the same drug tariff, and that's the one, quite rightly, that the Isle of Man follows. We are linked into that UK-wide supply chain. So shortages on the UK are mimicked on the Isle of Man.
That is pharmacist Nick Kay from Kingsley Mutey Pharmacy. As I say, speaking on Man in Line at lunchtime, you can watch it back on the Manx Radio Facebook page. There's also a podcast as well at manxradio.com. Now, a Tim Ward Select Committee today has heard that 100 complaints have been made by whistleblowers to a so-called integrity line for government employees that was established for that purpose in 2022. The information was provided by government's Executive Director of Human Resources, Julie Bradley. Government's whistleblowing policy was updated in April last year by a series of measures aimed at providing a complainant with greater protection and making the process easier and more transparent. Well, Arbury, Castown and Malou MHK Tim Glover asked Ms. Bradley to respond to claims that there's mistrust in this integrity line.
You know, that's disappointing if there's a lack of trust, because the integrity line is something that was established following the last Select Committee. One of the recommendations from that committee was to introduce a concerns at work service. So the integrity line is something that government pays for annually. It's run by Crime Stoppers, which is a trusted and respected body in the UK. They have contracts with the police and all sorts of different public sector bodies. And people can report to the integrity line 24/7, any time of day. And if they choose to, they can do so completely anonymously. And I can absolutely assure you that if an anonymous complaint comes through the integrity line, we never will be told who's behind that. One of the features, and sometimes an anonymous complaint can be a bit trickier to deal with because you haven't got the ability to then go back to the whistleblower and ask for more details. But more recently, in consultation with Crime Stoppers, they have now introduced a new feedback loop. So if the whistleblower wants to have some feedback or some contact and still remain anonymous, that ability is now in place. So I think that's a useful and quite a recent addition to the integrity line.
That is Government's Executive Director of Human Resources, Julie Bradley. It is coming up to 12 minutes past five. OK, we're going to talk about this horrible stomach bug that's doing the rounds now. But if you're thinking about tea, we're not going to talk in depth about any of the symptoms. But Public Health Isle of Man has issued advice after confirming an outbreak here of cryptosporidiosis. It just sounds hideous, doesn't it? Gemma Jones from Public Health has been talking to Amy Griffiths.
We are aware of a confirmed outbreak and we're working with relevant partners around the island to sort of manage the situation. We do tend to find that in cases such as this we've got at the minute, this outbreak, that they can be more likely to occur in sort of early spring, where we've got people visiting farms and petting zoos and that kind of thing and having contact with animals. So where you've got sort of lambing season happening and there's often, you know, frequent outings to petting farms where children can have direct contact with animals, that this can be more of an issue in the springtime when these sorts of things are happening. So it's what we would expect really around this time of year, but it doesn't always happen every year, but it can increase due to these sorts of activities happening.
There does seem to have been a little bit on social media, almost a bit of finger pointing. And is that fair necessarily to be pointing the finger in those ways, or is it just one of those things?
Cryptosporidium can be present in a variety of sources and it can occur as primary transmission from animal contact or secondary transmission as well. So when you're caring for somebody who has the illness, it can exist in manure and soil and it can contaminate fields, rivers, crops. So it's around in a lot of places. So I think to point the finger at a particular place that people have been to is probably unfair. It is a nasty, nasty illness. It's a bit of an unusual one as well because the symptoms can temporarily subside. So you think you've got better and then they can come back again. What I would say is if anyone has been diagnosed with this, the best way to avoid passing it on to anyone else is to stay off work or school for 48 hours after the last incident of diarrhea or vomiting. Avoid swimming for 2 weeks after the symptoms stop because people can still be shedding the bug for that long afterwards. So we would really recommend that people don't do that. Drink plenty of fluids to prevent symptoms of dehydration. And then if you are sort of managing it in a household setting, then just washing hands before preparing and eating food and after handling raw food, after going to the toilet or changing baby's nappies or helping young children with toileting.
That is Gemma Jones from Public Health talking to Amy there. I'm absolutely terrible. I only have to hear about that and feel slightly queasy. If you have had this bug, though, I hope it is over now and you're feeling much better. Coming up to 5:15.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres.
So nothing specific on the roads that we are aware of, but there are a lot of temporary lights around the island. In Douglas, they're on Victoria Road near Tesco. That's 24 hours a day. Quegg, still those ones at the bottom of Quegg Hill. In Port Sodric all this week, there are temporary lights on the old Castletown Road at the Marine Drive turn. In Braddon, again, just up from Brabham Bridge. In Peel, at the top of Derby Road, that's between the Swimming Pool and Ballaquane Road. Also on the Ballamorda Strait, that's between the Shoulder Road and the St Mark's turn. Remember that every night this week the Millennium Bridge across the harbour is closed for maintenance. That's from 8pm till 4am, and a section of the TT course closed again tomorrow between Belig Bridge and Lamb Fell. That's from 9:30 until 3:30. Looking down at the airport, just a couple of little delays but nothing major. And then at the steam packet, the Manxman due into Douglas at 5:30, heading out again to Heysham at 8:45 this evening.
Manx Radio Travel, service by Quayside Tyres. Call Quayside Tyres on 664417 to book your free vehicle's winter check so your vehicle is safe for you and other road users.
Okay, did you know there are now exactly 29 weeks to go until we head to the polls for the House of Keys general election? We've been taking a tour around every constituency just to see what the issues are that matter most to you. And in Ayr and Michael last week, residents there called for improvements to healthcare, better roads, and also wanted to see less government spending. So today, the focus turns to Ramsey, with some in the town saying that it needs to be tidied up, while others believe housing should be the priority. Here then are some of the views from Ramsey.
I voted last time. Both my candidates let me down. I'll not tell you the names. One was Dr. Helmson and Larry Hooper. Ramsey needs tidied up. It's so scruffy. When we were kids, this place was shining by the sea, but not now. It's so scruffy. Everything's changed.
I think it's very important to have your say. You know, it's no good afterwards moaning. You've got to do it now. Yeah.
I think it's very important that everybody votes. Being a woman, I feel that women long ago fought for the vote. And I think it's very important that all women should vote. Young people, in Ramsey, there's very little for them to do. So I think thought has to be put into finding places for them to go so that they are not hanging around street corners and in bus shelters.
It's little things that we as a local community think, that could do with sorting out. But we appreciate that it's not part of the TT course and things like that, so it probably won't get done. The biggest issue that I have is the focus that they have on certain things and the reasonings why, and I think they're already preparing to try and win votes by doing nice things for us, like the tax breaks and things like that, and getting rid of things like the 20-mile-an-hour zones, which was a very poorly thought-out idea. We don't get any big infrastructure spending. It's only what the Ramsey Commissioners can afford to do. The government hasn't come up and gone, oh, we want to do this, that or the other. They talk about going concerns and things like that. Ramsey Bakery shut down. It just shut. It was the major bakery on the island. Never a discussion to think, will the government be involved in things like that? But they're quite happy to get involved with other things.
That's some residents in Ramsey giving us their views on priorities ahead of September's general election. We'll be moving to another constituency next week. Coming up to 18 minutes past five, and after being closed for several weeks for refurbishment, the Whitestone Inn in Ballasalla has officially reopened its doors this week. Chanel Suku went down for a little look around and a catch-up with General Manager Gref Troughton and Ollie Neal, who's the Managing Director of Ocals.
We've had a major refurbishment, been closed for about 7 weeks, and I'm excited to see my customers back and see what they think.
How's everything been going over the past few weeks?
Do you know, it takes a lot of people to put this together, and there's been a lot of people involved, and everyone's worked really hard. You're working in a confined space together, so I'm really pleased how everyone's got together, and the finished products, I'm really happy with it.
And what do you think's going to go through people's minds when they walk through the doors?
Well, hopefully they'll see the thought and the investment that we've put into it. This marks a time where we are segregating the business out to different sort of offers, really. So this is the first sort of refurbishment of a site under what we're sort of classing the Ocals Heritage Collection. You know, and ultimately what that stands for is a great community space with a fantastic food offer that is ultimately curated with good local produce, incorporating some of our fantastic beers into that food offer as well, and hopefully an elevated and appropriate sort of drinks offer, and ultimately community space, not just for Ballasalla and the surrounding area, but hopefully become more of a destination for people across the island to come and see what we have to offer and what the future of Ocals Inns looks like, as we will then move on to future projects and roll this sort of concept and offer out a little bit wider across the island.
You said heritage. This building is one of, like you said, you know, community focused. Everyone knows the Whitestone Pub. I'm sure there's lots of history here as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think we did some research as a part of this. I think there's been a pub here since 1812. And you'll see even, you know, on the wall, there's reference to what was the original sort of cottage on the end that was knocked through into as a part of the pub. But, you know, that was built in 1824. So we've kept those pieces up, and a lot of the wooden beams, people who've been in over the last few nights have asked whether we've added them in, and no, we haven't. We've kept it. You know, that's what is part and parcel of what this building is. We've reinvigorated the likes of the fire. You know, again, one of our key components to a heritage pub is, you know, we want nice, cozy atmospheres, and the fire was absolutely sort of pivotal to creating that in the Snug. Yeah, it ultimately not tried to develop a brand new concept that would be out of sorts for here, but play to the strengths of the site and ultimately just sort of bring it back to life for the modern day customer, really.
That is Ollie Neal, Managing Director of Ocals, and before that, Jeff, the General Manager of the Whitestone. You can watch the video tour of the Whitestone on our Facebook page. It looks brilliant, actually. It's just gone 20 past five. Well, top darts players from the Isle of Man, UK and across the world are taking part in the 2026 Isle of Man International Darts Festival. It gets underway at the Villa Marina very shortly. It also marks this year the 40th anniversary of the event, and Chair of England Darts, Tommy Thompson, explains why this is such a special occasion on their season calendar.
I think from my perspective, and a lot of people, once you get them to the Isle of Man, they always want to come back, because it is very unique, you know, because not only have we got the event that's on at the Villa Marina, but the people within the Isle of Man at the pubs and the clubs and everywhere welcome everybody, and they always remember us, and that's fantastic. You know, they're really nice people on the island. I always say to people, it's got to be on your bucket list. The Isle of Man Open, no matter where else you go in the world playing darts, the Isle of Man has got to be on your bucket list.
Over the years as well, the Isle of Man Festival of Darts has welcomed some major names in the sport over the four decades of events that have taken place.
Well, they have. I mean, the likes of Phil Taylor, John Lowe, Eric Bristow, young Luke now, who's an honourman in darts, where he's took the world by storm. But his first event that he ever took part in was the, when he was 11, was the Isle of Man Open. And he got to the last 16, that was when he was 11. And everybody's like, wow, this kid can play. Young Bo Greaves, she's the top of the ladies that's ever been in the world. For want of a better word, we are a stepping stone to the future for so many dart players.
It's usually attended as well by plenty of local Manx players as well. So how important is it that they get the opportunity to showcase their skills at an event like this?
Oh yeah, and there is special prizes that the government have put up for the furthest man and the furthest lady that get through the tournaments, irrespective of whether they win. And there's quite a number of the kids this year have entered the Isle of Man Open on the youth side. They've never entered it before, which is great. We've got people this time from 12 different countries coming to the Isle of Man. And to be fair, it's not the easiest place to get to if you're living abroad, because you've got to fly into the UK and then fly out or what have you. So I think it just says how well it is viewed within the darting community of World Darts.
That is Chair of England Darts, Tommy Thompson there. Doors open tonight from 5:30. The festival is free to attend every day for anyone who wants to go along and watch. And something else that got underway today, the world's premier dog event, Crufts. It's expected to attract more than 150,000 visitors across its four-day programme. And this year, the Ramsey Dog Training Club, led by team manager Jean Young, will proudly represent the Isle of Man. And one of their display team is Rita. She's an eight-year-old collie, and Siobhan caught up with her human, Ruth Mead.
It's a huge honour to be representing Ramsey Dog Training Club and the Isle of Man at an international event. You know, not many people get to take their dogs to Crufts, so, you know, we are really, really very, very lucky, and we never take it for granted. And Jean Young, she's the team manager. She's been doing a fantastic job. She's got a great relationship with the Kennel Club. And so, you know, they started off many years ago before I was part of the club with the puppy display, and they've worked their way through. And now the Kennel Club have asked us to be the gold display team, the very, very top of the Good Citizen Dog Scheme. So, you know, that's really down to Jean and all her hard work getting us all in shape.
Amazing. And I've got it written here that you'll have live demonstrations today and tomorrow on Friday. And it's in the Good Citizen Dog Scheme ring. So it's literally the first ring people see when they come in. So even that is, it's a bit of pressure.
It is. And, you know, you walk into Crofts and you have to show people, you know, they've paid money to come and see Crofts. So you have to really deliver a really great experience for the crowds. And there's a lot of work goes into it. And it's a big responsibility. We're doing a traitors-themed event at 3:45.
Okay, hold on, stop the press. Tell me everything.
I know. So what we're going to do, there will be videos. So the dogs have all, we've been asked to train the dogs, and this is where sort of Jean's relationship with the Kennel Club's come in. You know, they've asked us to train all the dogs to sit and be comfortable being blindfolded with people walking around them, you know, and they know we'll pretty much deliver. So
that is brilliant.
So we're going to have them around the traitors table. We're going to do a mission with them to win money. And yeah, and then, yeah, we... Claudia can't be involved because of contracts, but she's apparently going to come down and watch it.
That is fantastic.
Isn't it amazing?
Oh, my word. Ruth Mead from the Ramsey Dog Training Club talking to Siobhan there. All I'm going to say is keep an eye on our socials this evening because you may be able to see that video. You need no introduction. Rob Pritchard, Sport on Update, brought to us by The Print Shed.
Faster Mike, first off, boxing and Isle of Man pro fighter Jamie Devine will return to the ring later this month. The Manx competitor is scheduled to appear at the Tough Sheets Community Stadium in Bolton on Saturday the 21st of March. His opponent is yet to be confirmed. Well, since turning professional in 2023, Devine has managed 10 wins from his 10 bouts so far. The most recent of those came back in November 2025, where he earned a points victory over Christopher Asicho Ocheno in Nairobi. Elsewhere, for the second time in the space of a week, Isle of Man golfer Anna Dawson is back in action on the Ladies European Tour. The pro competitor from Peel has finished the opening round of this year's Australian Women's Classic on 2 over par, 10 shots off the pace of top spot. Well, after a double bogey on the first hole, Dawson managed birdies on both the 7th and 9th, and on the back 9 managed par on 7 of the last 9 holes with the other 2 bogeys. It's been a quick turnaround for Dawson, who got her tour campaign underway last weekend at the Ford Women's NSW Open. In football, Onken have won this year's under-18s FA Cup with a 2-1 win over Corinthians in the final of the competition last night. During Wednesday evening's contest at the Bowl, it was Corinthians who broke the deadlock through a Ryan White strike, a lead they'd hold until the half-time break. Well, into the second half, the O's struck back to level through a Preston Cleeter penalty before they grabbed a decisive second courtesy of Liam Blake to secure the silverware. Furthermore, last night's win also makes it a league and cup double for Onken under-18s during this campaign, after they also claimed the Isle of Man under-18s league title in January during a league season in which they went undefeated with 6 victories and 1 draw. And finally, motorsport. And after making their TT debut last year, sidecar pairing Stephen Kershaw and Rhys Gibbons have confirmed their return to the races in 2026. On the Snaefell Mountain course last summer, they were a retirement in the opening three-wheeled race, but bounced back to finish 7th in race 2.
Rob, thank you very much indeed. That is all from Update tonight. Coming up next, it's one of my favourite programmes. It's the Archive Room with Judith Lay. Chris Kinney will be here from 6 with Greatest Hits. At 9, it's A Little Like Music with Maurice Powell. And then Rhianne will be here from 10 with After Hours. Have a lovely evening. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.